In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, let's begin this moment of a sermon. First with a prayer for those who are in authority for us, because today we're celebrating, what, the feast days of a number of saints especially, who hold high office within the church as both bishops but also popes. So let's pray for Pope Francis, and as well for our own Archbishop John Charles Wester. Let's offer an Ave to them, for them at this time. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's also pray a special prayer, an Ave, for our former pastor here at this parish, Father Sotero Sena. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Soter, same name, one of the early popes of the church. So on this day, I spoke to him this morning, wished him a blessed feast day. His birthday is on the 24th, happens to be. And he asked for special prayers, that like all good holy priests would ask for prayers at that time. And so join me in praying for him right this moment so that we can fulfill his request as a good priest. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So at this time, there's not much that's written about the life of Saint Soter. All we know is that he was one of the first popes of the church, dying in the 2nd century, and that he fought ardently against the Montanist heresy. All that's necessary. He suffered a martyrdom under the persecution of the Emperor Severus. So all we need to know about him is that he was a holy man who fought for the faith and ended in a holy way defending that same faith which you and I so freely profess this day. Here within our readings, we see something that's beautiful that's here. Our reading, especially the first one, focuses on that blessed apostle who you heard about all throughout the Mass. You see, anytime we're dealing with a pope, dealing with a bishop in this way, especially the popes, when we celebrate their martyrdoms, when we celebrate their feast days, vested in this red vesture just as we are today, we always use that phrase, which is taken from the Gospel today, Matthew chapter 16. What happened at that time? At that time, this is the reality that was going on. Some of you who, God willing, are still going to be able to go with us to the Holy Land in August, God willing, that this virus that is going around will come to an end at least for enough time so that we can go out there and to visit the Holy Land. So far, things do look good. We'll have to wait and see if everything cooperates for that. But what do we have? We'll go out there to Caesarea Philippi, which was addressed here, this very place. And where do we find in front of there? Our blessed Lord took his disciples out to that point for a specific purpose, to this beautiful rock outcropping that was there, that was before, and asked them, who does everybody say that I am? And the only person who answered was he who was not yet rock, but was going to be rock. He answered with the only answer that's possible, knowing, getting to the heart of the matter. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Changed his name at that moment. And when he spoke at that moment, he was saying, you are rock, just as there's this huge, massive rock outcropping that is here. You are as solid as that. But when he brought him out there, he said, and I will build my church, I will edify, I will construct. That's what the word is in Latin, that edify, that word, to build up, to make strong. That's the word that's used there, that our Lord does. To make you strong so that my church can be built upon the solidity, the firmness, the hard, the strength that you have. But when he said that, did you know that there was already a church that was there? For real, there was. There really was a church that's there. It was not a Christian church, obviously, but it was a pagan temple. A pagan temple was right there. So here he is saying, I'm going to build my church upon you who are rock. And for this huge, massive rock that was there, well, there was already a pagan church that was there that was not giving glory to God, but was rather glorifying the demons, which are the gods of the pagans. They're all demons, as Scripture clearly points out. St. Paul makes a strong effort to point that out, but they're all demons. And so he's saying that they're worshiping demons at this rock that I brought you out to, and guess what? The church that I'm going to build is way stronger, and it's going to be founded upon your faith in me being the Christ, the Son of God, which is there. Our Lord knew what he was doing. He was setting them up, giving them the right examples that they would need to be able to draw on from later on when the Spirit came to them and would reveal to them, as it speaks about, all truth, all the truths which he had spoken about beforehand. I want to tell you about a bishop today. Really good bishop. Really good bishop. His name is Leonidas. Leonidas. Some good fathers choose that as the name for their children because they want them to be strong. They're hailing from a Greek Leonidas, the king of Sparta, who they remember from that movie 300. I'm not saying go watch that movie, it's no good, but the valiant nature that is told down to us of the heroic 300 men who withstood at that time, and legend at least, is something that can be inspiring to us. Leonidas the saint is far more inspiring than Leonidas the pagan Greek king who worships strange gods. Let me tell you about the real Saint Leonidas. Incredible man. He was a saint of Alexandria, Egypt. That was a great center of learning. Maybe you know about the Library of Alexandria. Library of Alexandria. And there in this great center of learning, it actually became a great place where the church began to explode in the early times of the church. You can think of St. Cyril of Alexandria, who talked so beautifully about the faith and divinity, and really defended the divinity of Christ, really defended the very nature that our Lord has, so that we could come to understand the faith as it is, and many of the other saints who hailed from Alexandria. Saint Leonidas had a son who isn't a canonized saint, but it was a Greek theologian. His name is Origen. He had some funny beliefs and things like that too, so he wasn't entirely secure, which is why he was never canonized, but he's still father of the church. And this Saint Leonidas, later scholars tell us that he was actually ordained as a bishop. So he was a bishop of some sort that was there as well, episcopus. He had that episcopal title, even though we don't recognize him in the Mass with that episcopal title. The scholars tell us that he was. Saint Leonidas, and this is the one thing I want to focus on his life. Yeah, he was persecuted. He was a martyr just like the saints that we're wearing today. He gave his life and Origen. This is a funny story. But he wanted to follow his father because he loved his father more than all the other, I believe it was six other children that he had. He just had a closeness with his father and a love for God above all. He said, my father is going to be thrown into prison. He's going to be destroyed and killed in this persecution. I want to be there right by his side to encourage him the whole way. I want to die with my father for Christ because I love Christ so much, just like my father. His mother tried to convince him and say, no, you can't go that direction. Why? Because I love you so much. Don't go and pursue death right now. I need you, my son. And she couldn't prevail upon him. He was looking for every opportunity to get himself accused of being a Christian so that he could go join his father over there. So what did his mother do? Smart woman she was. Maybe some of you women would be smart just like the mother of Origen, the wife of Saint Leonidas would be. Knowing that he was an upright man and wanted purity above all things, which is why probably he was so smart, because he pursued purity with such an ardent nature. What she did, recognizing his desire for utter modesty and purity, she took all of his clothing when she went to wash him and hid them away so that he could not go anywhere with his great modesty. She knew that was the one thing that would keep him from going out and pursuing martyrdom with his father. And so there in that naked state, he had to spend his time and try to console his father in the only way he could with beautiful letters. You can go look them up online, the letters that he wrote to his father, of the joy in which he should embrace martyrdom, of the ardor that he should have for Christ, how Christ would be his only comfort, not just in this life through the tortures that he was going to get, but also for the life which is to come. I want to dwell with you a story of Leonidas, on how he really loved God. So this is a tender story. I've heard fathers and mothers do the exact same thing, even though they didn't know about the story of Leonidas. Maybe you should do this as mothers or fathers, certainly as grandmothers and grandmothers, as aunts and uncles. So you see, Leonidas thought the only most important thing in life was to be a Christian, to follow Christ, was to give one's life totally over to Christ Jesus and to receive the greatest gift of his love, first gift of his love, which would be holy baptism. And so the moment his son received baptism, his son Origen especially, who he saw loved God and wanted to pursue him because he received baptism at a later age, was already developing those mental capacities. Every night he would go through his house and greet his children, but especially Origen. We have the story of him going over to him, seeing him sleep. Then he would uncover his little shirt right there where it came together and just pull it down just a slight bit. And he would kiss the breast of his son right there after having received baptism night after night. Why? Because he said, right here, within the soul of this child, dwells the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity are perfectly encased in this child of mine. And so I kiss this temple, this vessel that houses my triune God. What great devotion is that? What great love for the mysteries. Do we do that? Do we recognize that every soul that is baptized actually contains Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even though the whole universe could not contain the greatness of who God is, yet the baptized soul is able to contain it, because God allows himself to be contained and to be loved in his fullness within that baptized soul. These are ways which you and I can come to live out that mystery of baptism, to really make devotion to Christ. And so in honor of St. Leonidas, and by the way, for those of you, I thank you, who sent me little messages yesterday. Indeed, yesterday was my anniversary of baptism. It was the, I believe, 34th anniversary of my baptism, if my math is correct. And so I thank you for those of you who prayed for me. I spent all day yesterday meditating on that fact. And so I'm going to give you a little reading from a pamphlet, a book that was written by St. John Hughes. It has beautiful prayers and beautiful meditations in it. You go ahead and get it. It's The Kingdom of Jesus or something like that is what it's called. It's page 312 that I want to give you, is where the meditation on what you should do to live out your baptism, the anniversary of your baptism. Here are the meditations that you should make. It's beautiful. It sent my soul into ecstasies before Mass last night, just so great joy and thankfulness for my own baptism just really showered down upon me. A good priest friend of mine in Pennsylvania showed it to me yesterday as I was talking to him on the phone. So I went and downloaded it and began meditating upon it. I want to give you the prayer that St. John Hughes gives us, the meditation and then the prayer that St. John gives us on one of the meditations at the very end of the renewal of your baptism there, where he says, here it is, the baptismal tribute to the Holy Trinity, and then following the prayer to the Blessed Trinity, they should do off that meditation. Let me share that for you. He writes, St. John Hughes does, As it has been said, it is our Lord Jesus Christ who baptizes the faithful. But each soul is baptized in the name and by the power of the Most Holy Trinity. The three divine persons are present at holy baptism in a particular manner. The Father is present in generating his Son in the soul and imparting to it a new being and a new life in his Son. The Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is present being born and receiving life in the soul, transmitting his divine sonship, by which the neophyte, the newly baptized child, becomes a child of God. Just as he himself, our Lord Jesus, is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is present, forming the image of Jesus in each soul, even as Jesus Christ was formed in the bosom of the Virgin Mary. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three are present, separating the newborn Christian from all other things, taking possession of that new child and consecrating him especially to themselves, imprinting their own divine character and image upon his soul and establishing in his being as their living temple, their sacred tabernacle, or their holy throne in heaven, the dwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, their glory, kingdom, and life. And consequently, if only sin did not stand in the way, the three eternal persons would dwell always in each Christian heart in a particular and unspeakable manner. They would most wonderfully glorify one another by living in the soul a most holy and divine life. So too then it follows that we belong to God as creatures, entirely consecrated to him, and we must consequently pursue no other purpose in this life save his glory and his service. In this connection, it would be well for us to pay the following tribute to the praise of the Most Holy Trinity. Join me now as I pray that prayer. Prayer to the Blessed Trinity in thanksgiving for your own baptism, just as I prayed it yesterday for my own. Let us pray. O holy and adorable Trinity, I adore thy divine essence and thy three eternal persons. I adore thee for having been present at my baptism. I adore all the signs of thy providence for me. I beg of thee to forgive me for impeding their fulfillment, and in satisfaction, I offer unto thee the life, the actions, and the sufferings of my Lord Jesus Christ and his most holy mother. I give myself to thee, O divine Trinity, for the accomplishment of all those same designs. O eternal Father, O thou, the only Son of God, O thee, Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son, enter into me. Enter into my heart and my soul. Separate from me all that is not thyself, and draw me unto thyself. Live and reign within me. Destroy in me all that displeases thee, and cause my very being and my life to be completely consecrated solely to thy pure glory. Amen. May it so always be that we are just as thankful for the grace that God has given each of us, just as the holy Saint Leonidas, whose feast we celebrate this day. A thanksgiving for the Holy Trinity that dwells within the soul of everyone who is baptized. May we seek with the same sentiments to make a love and adoration of him in the soul of every baptized person, and to maintain that presence even within our own lives as we adore him here at Holy Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.